Welcome back to Token Insights, the podcast from SMR that dives into the trends and innovations from the world of research and insights. Today, we're exploring one of the most exciting and maybe misunderstood technology appearing in our industry, synthetic data modeling. To find out what it is, how accurate it compares to the traditional survey data, and how it can help us solve some of the challenges in the fieldwork, I asked Scott and Kyle from Quest Mindshare to be here today. Their team has been leading independent research into synthetic data over the past 2 years, running real-world tests first in the US and now across Latin America, working with partners like LivePanel, Provokers, and so on. And recently, I saw them on stage in a conference in Lima, talking about their study and how synthetic data performed across 4 LATAM countries. And recently I saw them on stage at the SMR conference in Lima, talking about their study, how synthetic data performed across 4 LATAM countries and how the technology still struggles with and what it means. And I recently saw them both on stage in the SMR conference in Lima, talking about their study, how synthetic data performed across 4 LATAM countries, how the technology kind of still struggles with some points, and what it all means for the future of insights. This next few minutes, we'll have like a very interesting conversation about all of this, and especially like the future of insights, what it means for all the market researchers, and how we as market researchers can kind of see ourselves in the future and start to kind of think in a different way how we do surveys. So I hope you stick around and learn something new from this conversation. Welcome, Scott and Kyle. Thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure to see you, Scott, and finally get the chance to meet you, Kyle. I saw you recently on stage in the SMR conference in Lima, and your presentation was really insightful and really interesting, to be honest, like where you delved a bit on synthetic data and your study. But before we start talking about everything that you've been working on the past 2 years, I wanted to ask if you can explain me, almost as I was a five-year-old, what is synthetic data all about?
Well, I'll dive into that first. Synthetic data, in one sense, isn't really that difficult to understand if you think about what it's like that we already do in market research. And there's some very close parallels. If you step way back, first off, synthetic data is used in all sorts of applications. If you want to see how a factory building cars might run better, you can use simulated data, synthetic data, to basically mock up a production line and say, if we make a change here, what's it do to the time it takes and the people that need to be involved? Another example that I really love because it's pretty intuitive. Think about self-driving cars. I know around San Francisco, they have a bunch of self-driving Ubers that are out on the street, and they have to train them to recognize where they're going. So that means not just a map of the roads, but what the road conditions are. What does a stop sign look like? You know, what happens if you see a crosswalk? And so all of that is feeding synthetic data into a model to try and get some desired effect. If you translate it to the world of market research, synthetic data really has two big applications. One is modeling, and the other is personas. A very, very broad way, a very general way to think about it, is that modeling is like quant research. It deals with data sets, it deals with enhancing data and projecting data. Whereas the personas are usually driven by segmentations and are simulations of types of customers, more kind of a qual approach. Kyle, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of had the two distinctions there very basically, which is, you know, synthetic modeling or augmentation is almost looked at as kind of the quant side of synthetic data, whereas personas is the qual side. But yeah, what we're seeing a lot of market researchers do on the persona side of things is really just start to take first party data, quant data, and pairing that with IDI data and qual data to really start to build out personas. And what they're finding is they can leverage some of the large language models out there like ChatGPT, Google Gemini, Claude, and they're dumping data sets into these models and training them to essentially act as if a consumer would. And they're able to iterate about whether that's products, slogans, brand awareness. They're able to talk to it almost as if it's a real person. So both sides of the data or synthetic data coin are very interesting, some of which has real world application into what a lot of market research do on the quant side of things today. But there's also a huge potential future application on the persona side of things, depending on how researchers leverage the technology and train it.
Yeah, and I will say one thing to add on to that, and this is something I mentioned at the conferences where Kyle and I have been speaking. If you think about the persona side, you're essentially creating a specialized version of ChatGPT that will act like a small business owner, a mom of a five-year-old, a frequent leisure traveler. And it really depends on what you're feeding the model on. What does it refer to? What does it have as its kind of base of knowledge? And then what are you asking it to do in order to react to concepts? So what I've seen really succeed well on the persona side is if you've got kind of narrow but deep training data that you can feed the model, but you stay within that lane. You stay within what you've fed it in kind of that narrow definition. Right now, I've seen some very good models. We saw some at SMR Latam. The woman who followed our presentation did one on consumer segmentation for her bank in Brazil that I thought was really well done. But you're not trying to do a segmentation for a banking customer and ask it about how that same consumer would reserve a hotel or buy groceries. The main thing that we focused on, though, is the other side. You know, that's what we've been speaking at SMR, the modeling side. And I'd love to talk a bit more about that because that's been our focus.
Right. And you started with a US study, right, in last year. And now you've done like one in LATAM. How those two combine? How those do? What's the difference between the two markets? And what were the main key takeaways from both of them?
I think when we looked at both markets, what we really did to start was we took a multicultural attitudinal study based in the US back for SMR in Greece last year. We took about 1,200 respondents, removed a third, and then applied the synthetic modeling or augmentation to the gap that we had in the data set. So what we saw there was very minimal variance when we looked at the entire data set. So what we wanted to really test was, you know, how does this apply across international markets? Given that it's typically based on mathematics and statistics, there really shouldn't be any differences between different markets that we're running studies in, but we obviously wanted to test that and see what the results were. And so for our second test, what we did was we took four studies that were based out of Colombia, Mexico, Argentina, and Chile, and basically applied the same methodology to those four different Latin American markets where we approximately took out about a third of the respondents and then augmented synthetic data through that the gap there. So, and what we came to determine was that the variance between averages for those particular countries was very small as well. And I think when we looked at all four countries and then looking at the US in comparison, all of them ranged anywhere from, you know, 2 to 4% variance amongst each of the segments that we looked at. So, there wasn't really a ton of differences from a synthetic augmentation modeling perspective between markets. There were certain types of questions that impacted each market a little bit more than the other. But overall, when you looked at it in totality of what the data had, the variance tended to be around like a 2 or 3% variance when we looked at all of them each market.
Yeah, and you know, the whole idea with synthetic data modeling is essentially you have a hole somewhere that you want to fill in. Suppose you're running a survey and one particular group just isn't filling. And this was, I think, what interested Kyle and I first off. We said, you know, our company, Quest, fields tons and tons of surveys for clients. So we're always seeing projects where, you know, the typical hard-to-reach audience that everybody running surveys sees. We might use less acculturated Hispanics in the U.S. to really find authentic, less acculturated people. It's always been a problem. You know, we can never find enough to fulfill what clients want. Well, that might be an example of one of the tests that we ran where we've got a certain amount to work with, but we want more. We want the data to be more robust. And so we're augmenting what we're working with. That's the real key on the modeling side. On the persona side, you're building something to feed information into based on a customer type that you really want to know more about and have that technology simulate. On the modeling side, you're looking to take data you already have. You can't have synthetic data modeling create data. It has to basically look at relationships in the data set you have, and it does multiple projections that essentially the algorithm behind it compares against each other and against the real data. And it's not just one modeling. There might be 5, 10, 50, 100 models that are all building in and around your data set, depending on what you're looking for, depending on how complex the target might be, how many demographic variables you're trying to layer in against each other. But really the result of it is like waiting. It's like waiting maybe many times on a data set and then kind of comparing it all to see what the best fit is. Okay. Essentially, everybody knows waiting who deals with surveys. It's been around forever. People trust it. Well, with weighting, you're essentially taking data and changing the nature of it to fit a profile that you want to match to. In a sense, synthetic data modeling is very, very similar to that.
Okay. I have a question. We keep mentioning like personas and the fact that they're synthetic and the fact that they're synthetic humans per se. And when we're doing these surveys, there's always some topics or some of the questions kind of, you know, they're kind of like emotionally related or kind of emotional charge. How do those topics work with the personas and the synthetic data in general?
Well, I know, Kyle, you could speak to the modeling side and what we presented in LATAM. I'll answer a bit from the persona side. You know, there's some people who are much more experienced and expert than I am. One gentleman I know who I've collaborated with and is really well respected, his name is Yogesh Chavda. And if you really want to know about personas, Yogesh and I had worked together at the SMR webinar that we did earlier in the year about synthetic data promises and pitfalls, to give a plug for SMR. But Yogesh really handled a lot of the persona side. But I know enough about it to say that personas are not proven about where the guidelines are yet. Does it do well here? Does it not do well there? So I'd say in answer to your question, Antonio, there's still so much testing to be done. And you'd have to look at the context. What kind of persona have you built? You know, have you been able to feed it a lot of data that might be more kind of like psychographic or emotionally oriented? Have you trained it to respond to emotional content questions? And that's really a lot of the kind of future developments that I'm really looking forward to seeing. I see better and better models all the time, but a big question for me is not just kind of demographic and behavioral kind of information you can feed in. Here are a bunch of surveys our mom of a five-year-old has answered. Here's years of quant data, but how do you get the persona to kind of think and feel to simulate a survey? Again, it's all what you feed it in. So I would really look to ask that question. How well could it answer an emotionally laden question? Well, how well have you trained it to?
Okay. Yeah, I think on that, context is king. And I think with leveraging any large language model or AI tool out there, more context you can give it, the more accurate your output's going to be. Similar to both, you know, synthetic augmentation or modeling and personas. I mean, the more data you have to train it, the more you can tie correlations between demographic variables or behavioral variables to how they may respond to certain types of questions, whether that's an emotionally charged question or, you know, an awareness style question. I think the more you can tie and correlate between variables, whether that's demographic or behavioral, and the more data you can feed it and train it, the more accurate results are going to be. And that's why I think, you know, in the future, synthetic is going to play into how we design questionnaires. It's not going to be strictly based on how do we create this questionnaire with the human respondent in mind. It's going to be probably catered more towards how can we use good quality data from real people and how can we build questionnaires that can help us assist with potential augmentation or personas. I just think there'll be a shift in how we run research in the next few years. I think it'll be a bit more AI driven.
Well, you know, to piggyback on that, you know, the technology just keeps evolving for how any kind of synthetic generated information, whether it's kind of more on the persona side or the quant modeling side, is evolving out there. I literally met a company at SMR LATAM just a few weeks ago, and they have a certain technology for doing voice capture of data that I'm looking into testing. But a really interesting aspect of a platform they're developing is that they are generating prompts that they could use within a data collection platform. Essentially, how can we test whether a prompt that we're asking is going to be effective or not? And they mentioned using synthetic data to generate essentially answers to a certain prompt, then reword that prompt and see if the same kind of synthetic respondents, in a sense, provided a better answer. And so I'm seeing steps, just as Kyle's mentioning, that a lot of what we are seeing in existing technology is already leaning into survey development. And this is a huge area of priority for me. I've taught survey design for a long, long time at a university level, and I'm really interested as the next cool thing that might emerge out of some synthetic data applications is a much more consistent way to create and test the structure and the wording even of surveys.
That's very interesting, because I was going to ask after this, what's the future? Like, where do you see this going? And where do you see, like, your work? What's your next study? Where do you see it go? Is it more on, like, the wording? Is it more on the persona side? Is it more evolving on the synthetic data in general? Where do you see it working in the future?
I mean, I see direct application currently with market researchers that have studies that they're running, quant studies that they're falling short of certain audiences or feasibility. I think that's kind of the today best application of augmentation and modeling. Whereas if you're looking at questionnaire design in the early stages of, you know, how do we design our questionnaire effectively to get the insights that we're looking for, I think that's where you're going to start to see personas be used a little bit more, maybe to help you refine down what you're going to ask, how you're going to ask it, and what's most relevant. So I think that's currently how it will be used and how researchers can use it today and in the future. And again, like I mentioned, I think really how we look at research in the future is going to be based on how can we capture the correct data that we need to potentially leverage AI or large language models to help supplement the data further. You know, we've got clients that run studies that are still 30-minute long surveys that were created probably 20 years ago that they've run for year over year. And while that is a big part of the industry today, I think people are going to have to start to look at how they've run those trackers and potentially adjust them to be more suited to the future respondent. And the future respondent, from my perspective, is going to be shorter attention spans, shorter surveys, more verification. And I think that's where kind of the focus will be, is how can we make the user experience as good as possible, ask the right questions that we can potentially cut 30-minute surveys down to 10-minute surveys and segmentations and make more larger sample sizes to get our insights. So I think that's kind of the future from how I see it. I don't know if you've got a different perspective on it, Scott.
Well, you know, very much that. I really look in the world that Kyle and I live in most about what can synthetic data, AI-led technologies of a few different types do to really enhance data collection, audience engagement, being able to reach people where they are, to get the cooperation, to get them motivated to really go through a survey. And on the flip side of that, there is no consistent really training. There's no industry standard around how to build a survey out there. And I'm really looking to some of the technology and the platforms. And in fact, some things that I very likely may be speaking at by the end of this year about some of the tests that I'm building literally right now about, do these new technologies allow for creating a better survey, engaging a respondent better during that survey, with the ability to monitor that, to essentially watch over people, prompt them, score them, flag them, to see the data quality as it's being collected, you know, being assessed. Something we've never been able to do, something I've been looking for decades for. So how can we really tell we've got the right people going into a survey, that they're paying attention and answering thoughtfully, and if they're not, identify them quickly and be able to get them out of our data set, and then leaning into all the stuff that we're seeing working really well already across countries, across different surveys, and we're doing a lot more. If that creates a hole by us throwing out data, can we model it?
And can I imagine that, like, from country to country, like, the surveys will kind of need to be different, and this will also help with that, like, the same questions that you ask on one side is not the same ones you ask on the other one. So these synthetic modeling will kind of help that. And I can imagine that this is changing so fast. Like, before we starting this, you told me, like, this kind of started for you like 2 years ago. And I can imagine that, like, every year or every 6 months, the things that you were working on are not the same that you're working now, because now the technology just completely changed, right?
Yeah, and I think across different markets too, I think we're at a day and age where personalization is kind of a very important piece of not only, you know, market research, but even marketing in general, is that, you know, we're getting emails, whether that's for products or newsletters, that are being catered specifically towards the end user. And that is typically based on, you know, things that they're interested in, their demographics. And we're seeing this hyper-personalization, not only from a marketing perspective, but you'll start to see it from a market research perspective. And how exactly we do that in the future, you know, we'll, you know, researchers want to remain consistent across, you know, methodologies and how they run their studies, but, you know, that will change in how we run, you know, types of studies in certain markets, how we invite respondents, or how we, you know, send them into studies to participate. I think we're getting to a point where that personalization that we see in the marketing world today is going to start to trickle over into market research.
Yeah. And, you know, to piggyback again on some points you're making, Kyle, and your question, Antonio, all of these technologies that I'm seeing are being built now with a global view. And to me, that's really encouraging, because in the past, there've been a lot of silos. You know, we would write a survey one way in the US, and really we wouldn't change it when we're implementing it in other countries' cultures. I think there's a much expanded view that there are tools to make that a lot easier. There are translation technologies, there are cultural nuances that are layered in. This one platform that I'm, like I said, literally setting up a test right now for being able to voice capture data, transcribe it, have the AI be able to do all sorts of language recognition, context, sentiment, and structure somehow. I was shown the platform, geez, a week ago. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to me that when I was shown language, for example, something that was highly relevant in SMR Latam a couple weeks ago, it had Spanish, but it had Spanish for a variety of countries, because it's, of course, not spoken the same in Argentina versus Mexico. And so I think a lot of people are cognizant of the fact that you can't design something for just the UK or the US or Canada or Mexico. You really have to look for technology to do what it can do, to be able to have that layer of multiculturalism and adaptability from the start designed in.
Yeah, we call it the internet, but it's even more, like, I think now it's really the World Wide Web than it was at the beginning. Well, thank you so much, Scott and Kyle, for being here. Every time that I speak with you, especially Scott, like, I feel like I'm in a kind of a science fiction book in a way. But in a good way. Like, we have, like, really interesting conversations, and I learned so much, and it's really interesting to learn, like, how the technology in market research, and how the researchers are using the technology to improve what we do. So it's always a pleasure to have you here.
I gotta say, Antonio, that's one of the things that Kyle and I think are very proud of in our work, is that we're trying to separate, in a sense, the science from the fiction.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing that we're doing real world side by sides. And we'll keep doing that. And Quest is getting known for that, because we'll look at something that looks promising and say, you know what? Let's go do something the traditional way. Then let's try this new way. Put them side by side. Look at what researchers already know, already do, are well versed in. But then introduce, what if we did it this way? What does it look like? And so we're going to keep doing that.
And we're here to see what you get and come up with. I'm looking out for your next study, for your next research paper, and for whatever you are going to be on the next conference. I'm going to be there.
Thanks, Antonio.
And that's all for us today. Thank you, Kyle and Scott, once again for being here. And thank you for listening, or if you're on YouTube, for watching us. It's always so interesting to have these types of conversations where I always feel like I kind of uncover like some new part of the industry. I will obviously have Kyle and Scott back on the show in the future to talk more about synthetic data and the personas and everything in between. For now, I hope you have a great rest of the day, and please like and subscribe, and I'll see you on the next one. Bye.